Our last speaker, and then we'll have a break, is Terry Preston. She is from Local 4400, and she's going to be speaking about the issue of job security. And the story, like many of these stories, go beyond the single issue. They often are across a number of different issues. Terry has worked as an adult English as a second language instructor with the Toronto Board of Education since 1989. For the last 8 years, she's been working full-time for Local 4400, as vice president of the Instructors Bargaining Unit. She worked with Union Development to put together a course for school board workers to assist locals in supporting members who find themselves in need of EI. There's been a lot of trouble, and there had been trouble in the past of school board workers being able to obtain EI. Terry was elected to chair of the Ontario School Board Coordinating Committee, and in her experience with both Local 4400 and the Coordinating Committee, she has a real strong conviction for coordinated bargaining, and she's going to be talking a little bit about how they made it to a provincial table and won many things, including job security. Terry?
Thank you. In Ontario, QP represents 50,000 workers in school boards. They are covered by 106 collective agreements. Approximately 70% of these workers are women. The vast majority of these women are school-based staff and work 10 months of the year, relying on employment insurance during the summer layoff. In 1998, in the province of Ontario, the provincial government, under Mike Harris, took over the direct funding of school boards. School board trustees no longer had the right to raise additional money through property taxes. The government slashed funding to education and introduced a seriously flawed funding formula, which to this day remains inadequate. In order to balance their budgets, employers started to look at where to cut. Educational assistance, a female-dominated classification, found the number of hours per week being reduced from 35 to 30, and in some cases to 25 hours a week. Boards were laying off educational assistants on board-wide professional activity days rather than providing them with professional development. Violence against educational assistants increased as fewer employees were asked to supervise students with an increasing number of challenges. The workload of school secretaries, also a female-dominated classification, increased as work was downloaded from principals and the number of secretaries in the schools was being reduced. In some areas of the province, school secretaries were made itinerant and forced to work half-time in two schools. Caretaking, a male-dominated classification, was being contracted out by some boards in spite of valiant campaigns to prevent it. School boards started looking at having one head caretaker for two schools as a way of reducing costs. More and more frequently, the employers were coming to the bargaining table looking for concessions to benefit plans because the funding was inadequate. Needless to say, the bargaining climate had changed dramatically. In some cases, locals were forced to strike to maintain what had been fought for in previous rounds of bargaining. At our Ontario School Board conferences, we were hearing more and more from our members about the need to enter into direct bargaining with the province. We needed to be speaking directly with the funder about our issues. QP and the Ontario School Board Coordinating Committee lobbied the government relentlessly to engage in direct discussion about issues facing support staff. In the fall of 2006, the Support Staff Workers Advisory Group was established. This working group started the ball rolling. We discussed violence in the workplace, particularly its impact on educational assistance. We discussed workload issues and the impact inadequate funding was having on students and our members. During this time, Locals 218, with the Durham Board of Education and 4222 with the London Board of Education, both went on strike over the issue of reinstating the 35-hour work week for educational assistants. It was clear to the government this was going to be an issue for other QP bargaining units. The government was aware we had more than 75 collective agreements with a common expiry date of August 31st, 2008. Dalton McGuinty, the premier, had promised stability in the school sector as part of his platform, and he said when he ran for election that he wanted to be remembered as the education premier. The time was right for our first attempt at a provincial framework agreement. With the unanimous approval of the leadership of all of our locals, we went to the table with the following issues: wages, benefits, a 35-hour work week for educational assistants, violence in the workplace, workload for caretakers and secretaries, professional development, and working conditions for instructors. We were able to achieve major improvements in all of these areas. We have a 4-year collective agreement with wages and allowances increased by 3% a year for each year of the collective agreement. Educational assistants will have their hours increased to 35 hours per week by the last year of the 4-year collective agreement. And some bargaining units at their local tables were able to introduce the hour increase at an earlier stage. Educational assistants will have their work year fixed at 194 days per year. They will no longer be laid off on professional activity days. Now, for those who were working in school boards where they were working 25 hours a week and 188 days per year, this will, by the end of the 4 years, represent a 65% increase in earnings for those workers. And of course, that has implications on their pensions as well. Professional development over and above what was previously allocated was made available, and the local bargaining units will have input and actually control in some cases into how the money will be spent. Violence in the workplace, a committee will be struck involving QP, the Ministry of Labour, and the Ministry of Education to look at the issue of violence and make recommendations by December 2009 for legislative changes which would provide better protection for our workers. In the area of benefits, the existing benefit plans were protected for the life of the collective agreement, and then in 2010, additional money was provided to provide improvements in the benefit plans. A committee will be struck with the government, representatives of the School Boards Association and QP to look at a provincial benefit plan for all education support workers. So we'll have one plan for all education support workers across the province. Workload for caretakers and secretaries, with very few exceptions in Ontario, as I've heard is happening in the rest of the country, there is declining enrollment in schools. There are simply fewer children enrolling in the junior kindergarten to grade 12. Fewer students results in fewer dollars going to school board and usually results in fewer staff. Through the provincial agreement, we were able to change the funding formula for both school secretary and caretaking lines, ensuring we will have more people working in these classifications in spite of declining enrollment. This not only addresses the workload issue, but provides us with a measure of job security for these classifications. Instructors have had their funding line increased by an additional 3.5%, and that money is to be used, has been used at local tables to improve working conditions for instructors. Our experience with provincial bargaining has, on the whole, been successful. We have been able to make real gains for large classifications of workers, most of whom are women. These gains would have been very difficult to realize if each bargaining unit had taken the fight on individually. The leadership of all the locals in the province embraced the idea and gave us the go-ahead to bargain. And that includes the locals that had to open up their collective agreements earlier in order to help us get everybody on the same page. Local bargaining committees took the agreement and the money available and made it work in their collective agreements. There is always room for improvement, and at our conference in April, we'll be speaking to the local leadership in how to make the process work even better for next time. The biggest lesson learned, we are stronger when we stick together. In 2012, all of our collective agreements will expire on August 31st, and we're going to start organizing now for that day. Thank you.